You know, you mentioned the issue of the really surprise in the MA-17 study, and that the women who were initially randomized to a placebo hadn't had any therapy for, I guess, 2-3 years, and then started an AI, had this drop in recurrence rate, even though it had been a little bit of a gap. How does that translate to your own non-protocol practice in terms of, will you start a patient who's been off tamoxifen for a few years in an AI?
I think it's something that, were I seeing those patients, you'd have to think about that. I've been in my current practice location 5 years, so that's something that I haven't seen. But obviously, seeing that data, I think a lot of people are going back and looking at. The problem with it, you know, it wasn't randomized data, it was selected and so on. But the interesting thing about it is the selection should have, you know, worked against seeing the effect.
Right.
And the effect was so large that it's just old common sense tells you there's got to be something here. I don't know if it's that dramatic, but there is something here. And I think a lot of people are using it. I think you have to talk to patients about it, particularly playing the game of, well, what was their initial risk? What was their prognosis to begin with? The better the initial prognosis, the less certain, but certainly a patient who had positive nodes, who was tolerating medication well, who was stopped in a sense arbitrarily because the available data said stop, is somebody that you might want to revisit and share the data with them.
I think that approach is exactly what I hear a lot of support for, because we don't know the answer, but at least we can bring it up to the patient and say, you know, there's an issue here. I think the one thing is that when somebody does develop a breast cancer recurrence, I mean, it's a pretty sad event. And for people who then might go back and say, well, wait a second, there was something I could have done. Now, maybe it really wouldn't have made a difference, but he kind of left a stone unturned there, or at least it could have been considered. And we have these sort of meet the professor things that you've been involved with. I know we present cases and you see a woman who developed a recurrence 8-10 years later, who never had an AI, never had it discussed with her. It's kind of, you know, sort of a little bit sad, and you want patients at least kind of know that it's a possibility.
Sure.
And I think that kind of informed approach, and again, sort of focusing back on the surgeon, I wonder, can you make the argument that if a surgeon seeing a patient who's had an ER positive tumor, seeing for routine follow-up, I don't know sort of what the date would be or how many years since diagnosis, but I think the patient not having had an AI might bring sort of a little bit of a red flag out on the chart.
I think it's a reasonable question for a surgeon who continues to follow his or her breast cancer patients, you know, for years out like that, it's not an unreasonable question for them to ask. Because a lot of times the problem that you get into with some patients is they stop seeing the medical oncologist when they stop the drugs. They may not even be getting back in to a medical oncologist to have the discussion. And we'd like to think if they are, the medical oncologist will always discuss it. But even if you throw that out, I guess in our practice, we do try to what I call consolidate the physicians when you stop hormone therapy at 5 years. Patients oftentimes have kind of evolved a preference who they like they see. And I think the important thing is they see somebody who's knowledgeable about breast cancer. And this is a case where I think it's useful for breast surgeons to be aware of the data. If they are the only one following long-term, that's something they might think about revisiting with the patients.